Fire, what are you saying?
Yes, I give thanks to life as usual, you know?
Special show today with a special guest, reggae royalty, reality, the great Grants, Morgan Grants, what are you saying?
Blessings, give thanks, man. Thank you for having I and I, you know?
All right, so first question I have is, are you aware, so obviously aware that we're well connected with the younger groups, right? Are you aware of the impact that Morgan Heritage has had on the younger generation? Because I remember you told me how impactful Still Pulse was to you in Third World. But yes. Morgan Heritage, are you aware that Morgan Heritage has that same influence on this generation?
Yeah, I've been told, you know, by a lot of the young artists, them, and give thanks for those who reveal it and share it, because it gives us strength to continue upon that journey as them evolve and become mature, and as them turn into fathers and turn into husbands, and, you know, have to be there upon that journey, because when you start upon this journey of Rastafari, you know, the fire hot now, you eat lead crackers and steam soup, and, you know, but as you mature, it becomes a lot of wisdom. And people like Chronix has shared that with us, Kabaka Pyramid, and a lot of the musicians that play with them tell me how they've been listening to our live concerts. And so it's really a joy to see that the words take on to flesh. It's encouraging.
All right, next question I have here is, right, spoken to numerous artists, and they were telling me how they're, I want to know if you guys have been impacted by this, right? It seems like royalties has declined tremendously after this Tuff Gong radio thing, right? And have you experienced that?
No, I haven't. Royalties is not a thing we really did watch, you know, because we never from the beginning had a very impactful radio royalty thing where we had mainstream. You know, it's only when you get not on major radio stations like iHeart, and but of course, the Sirius XM thing, they pay royalties like most radio stations. But for me and my brothers, whenever really I look to say, hey, watch out for that royalties in the mail, we just do the works. And the biggest income for any artist on any level is touring.
So, all right. So things are opening up now, right? We spoke during like the height of the pandemic when people started doing the virtual vibe. What is the strategy? Because this is what I noticed, Fire. Clear this up for me. It seems that those who have their paperwork going to be able to eat some food for the next year. And I'm noticing a lot of people don't have their work permit. And it's not a monetary thing, but a time thing. Will they have enough time with the process to get the permit to come up here and work?
I think so. Of course, the U.S. Embassy is always backed up, always, you know, so it's not something new. It's probably, and I even see more, a lot of people traveling now. I've seen a lot of artists from Jamaica. I'm not sure if you're referring to the island of Jamaica only, because artists are coming from, you know, many different parts of the world. Africa, I'm bridging Stoneboy, he's traveling. Chata Wale is traveling. You know, all of the artists are traveling. But when it comes to the artists from Jamaica, there's the other day it was a Beanie Man over in the UK. So artists are traveling, but the delay of getting an appointment at the embassy, that's always been a problem.
All right. The next one I have here as we wheeling them off. I heard some new stuff from not released, unreleased Jameer, some stuff produced by Riff Raff, right?
Yeah, wow. What?
Yeah, because, you know, I deal with Riff Raff still, so you always throw me a little something for the listening ear.
Yes.
But, Fire, how did this connection happen now? Because the thing on the heights right now with the music, like, how did that Riff Raff production connection come into play?
Well, Riff Raff, our brother, you know? Like, you have the music fraternity, family, and then you have the family within the families, you know? Like, you know, we and Chronix, the Marley family, Shaggy, Buju Bantan, it's like a family within a family, right? So Riff Raff is one of them youth they were always make music nonstop. I remember the first time Riff Raff come in and fill in for one of my keyboard player them, and I just said, brother, you remind me so much of myself. And we both idolize, no sense like this man like a gardener, but when you talk about wire, we used to play with the Wailers, the organ player. When the man they are playing and they play the spirit and that's let go now. There's no man like that organ player till this day. So when me and Riffraff, when I first time we meet up and he was filling in for me keyboard player, and him start telling me which keyboard player I'm listening to. And him say a two organ player I'm listening to, I grew up. And it's Wirelinda and Gramps Morgan. Me say a liar tell. So me tell him say, why am I study? It was just a joy. So when he go out on tour with Stephen Marley and, you know, play with Joe Mercer and put together bands and Jesse Royal, he's a genius. I call Riff Raff one of the Quincy Jones of our time within the reggae fraternity because he's that good. And I think when it comes to production in reggae music, Riff Raff is the leaders, one of the leaders them in the music. And so it's like a family thing. So him just linking up with Jamiri is just like, all right, all of the albums Riff Raff have played on for Morgan Heritage, and then my son come now, it's just a linkage, you know?
You can't argue that for true. You know? It's a reality catalog large.
Yeah.
I know we'll find it really funny. So there I mentioned it from a musical standpoint, like I say, you have the family within the family, right?
Yeah.
We realize that there's a distinction between the ones who love music on that level and people who just do music. Or there I say that how important you think it is for a musician love music and a man who is supposedly an artist for have musician background. How important is you see that?
It is very key. I'm glad you said that because sometimes a lot of the musician in we love music. Even the musicians we love music sometimes get frustrated because, you know, lack of funds, survival, and the responsibility outgrow them income. If I wanna let me say that again, them responsibility outgrow them income. Come when most youth start out, you know, them have nothing. Probably a look a dog at them yard, they want a look a dog food and two look of bird at the yard. But when you start make baby know and you say yo and you play with all different artists and you say yo I know enough money that to know because my woman and my yard I say the house want some food and the grass want cut and the car payment do and all these things I do. So in the beginning I must give it to every musician, the love is there, but what outlasts that is when the survival come in, and even though you're not making money, that's when the love come in. Because, hey, you try to tell a musician, boy, you know, love music, like, oh, me love music. Every musician are going to defend themselves. And so we all talk about it. But have this, you want to touch them, Khan? Say, when things get rough, will you still do music? Because I've seen so many musicians that when things get rough, them get another job. Them get another job, like throughout this pandemic. It get rough for me too. But what did I do? Me make more music. You know, and end up link with this brethren named Johnny Reed. And throughout this whole pandemic, me I say, how can I become better? How can I become a better father? How can I become a better husband? How can I become a better son? We just want to become better. Guys, Imperial Majesty show us that in order to one excel, that's why I love the speeches of His Imperial Majesty. We study them thing they like book, you know, we need to watch YouTube and them thing. We study the speeches of His Majesty and Marcus Garvey. These are teachers in this modern day and time that we must use these teachings and evolve into the 21st century as young Rasta youth and entrepreneurs. So me then I'm going to say, how am I going to get better? I happen to meet this Scottish man at a hockey game, come here going to Babylon and I see where I go on. And I said, well, I never say a hockey game yet, and I want to see it. The man here upon this ice and it's a skate and I want to see this thing. I see the man slam up under the glass and I say, yeah, good experience, you know? And me and the man link and him say, hey, mate, what's going on, man? What's going on? Until me and him find out, say, he's a songwriter and big star in Canada. And then it went from there to we just start link up and I said, boy, I want to become a better songwriter because we have the time, Me now go on tour, Heritage Tour canceled. So there was no tour, there was no plans to do a solo album. We just a CT and I wait and I said, why we wait for the tour now? Jam must open up back the place now. No, sir, 1 year turning a 2 year until him invited me to his studio. And I said, I'll pass through the studio because I'm saying of a mic with Willie Nelson, Sing Pan, and Johnny Cash and all these great country artists. So I just pass through and we just start make music and then play the first song for me. And I said, yeah, my song, not to my brother. And I say, all right, mate, all right. And to me, and the man just coming like a bridge. And you just show you say a young looking Rasta you there in the National Tennessee, we have the Jamaican flag. And a man from Scotland as a country music writer come together. And just show you say unity is key. And it can be a light and example to the world. Say, because the world is in a state where enough tension are going, you know, enough injustice. So when me and him can come and show and say, yo, positive vibration. That's why I say, Kai, when he start discovering me, I say, yo, positive vibration. And throughout the whole project, two words were key. Positive vibration and keep it simple. Through the whole time, we are writing the tune every day. And it wasn't a thing where we were just going at the studio. It was 1 day. I would come in for a week, 2 days a week. Sometimes it was 2 weeks past, but you had about a period of almost 2 years. So we had the time for 1 day come in. It was a natural vibe. It was nothing planned.
And Faye, I just want to commend the truthfulness. First of all, acknowledging that it was a struggle during the pandemic. A lot of people acting like everybody's good and it throws off other people who are struggling. And also, there's a thing in the story that's very, very important. I hope the people listening capture it. The humbleness when the man said he wants to become a better writer, a better father. Always dealing with improvement because a lot of people, unfortunately, they feel, even if they haven't reached the stage as you have in your craft, they feel that they don't have room for improvement. And I think that's one of the biggest downfalls for a lot of people, you know? So we give thanks for sharing it.
Yeah, man. Is it one of the biggest downfalls in our industry because... like throughout the process of writing these songs and putting them together, I realized it's not, and I've always knew it, but to go through it myself and experience it and see that my songwriting could improve, is not every artist is a songwriter, and it's not every songwriter can be an artist, right? And you have a lot of artists that can do both. But even that one can do both. When him buck up on a real songwriter, and say, wow, you take that word and even when you listen to the lyrics in my song, Runaway Bay, man say, I've been gone too long and all I want is to be with you. Count your stars, walk underneath your moon. Who says that? Normal man don't talk like that, right? But these are songwriters that they do this for a living and get up every morning and like, or you go to the office or a man go to the gym every day. These guys get up and write and study songs. And it was a pleasure to bring that to a reggae artist like me. We're just denny and hungry and a wait on tour and has been desiring this. And for me, it's been a blessing in my life and just humbled me and make me know, say, Jareel.
And you know, a question more add to that. You know, the same lines too, because a man out there with us a wait, but Grams Morgan say my fellow on a wait pan tour back. What Grams Morgan a talk about? Morgan Heritage, big Grams Morgan. I'm still on a wait pan tour. Pandemic not supposed to affect Morgan Heritage, not Grams Morgan. Right. So what they have to say about that?
First of all, when no fine man them, I want to share with you this. Me glad you said that. Some things when me hear a road about me and my brother, they make me laugh. Man, say, yeah, man, I saw it go. This, the amount of fictitious things that surround Rastafari, it needs to change. And if we don't change, we're going to lay back and see this world advance without us. And we're still in the underground. Yeah, I and I start it, you know. We are the original, you know, while we are suffering. And the fact is, my brother, is that we have bills to. We have desires too. We love woman too. You say you're young and fresh and no the woman them. I love you half. I say, yo, I look like a young rasta. If I catch him, you see. So the reality is that we all face normal things. And some of the man them like to get in such a heights and become this rich. And the reality is that we have bills, because no matter where you live in the world, if you don't pay your light, they're going to shut it off. If you don't pay, you put no gas in the car, the car not going to move. So the reality is that no matter what, even if me sit down pan $1 billion, me still have to move on, me still have to get up, me still have to go to the bathroom. The things of life and the responsibilities of life still face us. And one of the biggest things that me says, enough man now make no baby again, like no man no want no family again. And the woman them no have no baby again. The first thing is, you know, whatever their thing is, but let's assure you from my perspective, from where I'm coming from, that the first thing that we wanted to do is say, boy, well, have a look at you to know, you mean, bless, you know, you want to see your offspring. And now today's generation is like, they're not interested in that. They more find success important than having a family. And it's been that way for a very long time, but some people want to have the success before having a family. And a lot of people want to have a family in order to push them towards success. So everybody to each his own, but the reality is that grams have bills and this pandemic has been rough. So we find a way to become creative. I've been studying cryptocurrencies. I've been studying the stock market, because them now left Rasta out of the thing. I will not have it. I'm not going to sit there and hear a lot of man say, boy, repatriation to Africa. Number one, it take a flight. I would love to even fly on my own plane, because Marcus Garvey teach us about self-reliance and building ourselves as a nation, as the Black nation. And we can then see these things happening and want them to happen by just dreaming and having good words. It's going to take work, research, knowledge, wisdom. Or we're going to sit there and have the longest dreadlocks and the biggest khaki Selassie suit and red, gold, and green and watch these things happen. Me, Grams Morgan, it not happen. Them are going to tie up the suit with face like the gang said.
And Fire, I got a quick question, right? Your pops was a blood and fire person, right? Where did the practical approach come from compared to, I don't want to say I don't know the term to use, but as you said, people, they're on a certain heights where they're kind of disconnected from the environment that they have to survive in. So where did a practical approach come from, and how have people responded to your practical approach?
Oh, it's been tremendous. It's been tremendous. Me and a lot of my Rasta brethren say, yo, I didn't think we need to talk about, because it's time to start having sober conversations, or we will see generation after generation after generation after generation come and do the same thing. So my father's biggest thing is say, you don't have to go to school. And my father dropped out of school in the fourth grade. You can imagine that. And my father learned to read by reading the daily news in New York, by go to the store and buy a hot chocolate and a butter roll. Man, I know about them Brooklyn living there. That was man breakfast when man I survive and I sell ganja and I make life. And then just come afire him. And him sit down with the newspaper on the toilet and teach himself how to read. Now, when you get that's what a man say, when you listen to your band and say, send him back to my yard. If you know that tune there, and a man say, a man there afire and a loaf, and the next man there back at Jamaica, all he wants is the chance, we're gonna make it afire him. So my father reached America, him first thing when he sent for him wife and him first three kids them, and bringing to America was education. Because this is one of the things that many other generations or many other nationalities have over us, is that we don't take education serious. Marcus Garvey talk about these things. His Imperial Majesty talk about these things. So that is the difference with, I say, with my father. Him say, yo, go school. There was many times when we did it, and we had to travel between New York and Massachusetts, because we grew up between them two places. And the culture strong, see? And I remember reach from New York to Springfield, Massachusetts, a man up on a yarn and up on, no one go to school, daddy. He said, get up and go to school. I was tired enough, just leave 12 tribe, because I grew up in 12 tribe by Israel, so we'd have to go there and rehearse, and we was the backing band for people like Judah Merrills and Judy Mowat, Sister Carol. We were the backing band. So we were so tired that by the time we reached the Springfield, you know, it was like 7 o'clock and the bus comes 7:30 and would leave out of the van in the driveway and go right to this, to the bus stop for our school. So then we had me come up with that mental toughness. So when my father say, yo, when me know my father left school at fourth grade, kind of a babysit theme look a better than, you think me can come play? Me have to supply myself with every tool, mentally, physically, spiritually, fit. That was full matter, me and my brother then. Mentally, physically, spiritually fit. Mentally, spiritually. It was a thing where we just say, yo, we have to make sure we fit. So enough football, enough soccer, enough basketball. Because I said, man, you can't ramp and you can't tie up on stage. You know? So it was a thing where, and if you follow this, the ones that are successful in the music, is the same mentality. Buju Bantan, Kipletan, Beanie Man, is the same kind of thing. Beanie Man not exercise enough still. He just start exercise right there. But it's the same mentality where you look at Marlies, them man takes football serious and them get it from where? Them father. So that's why you see that sense of militancy is in the music.
And there you said that now it lead me if you mention a thing to come. I listen to the reasoning and it'll go one direction where you feel like so most times there's a generational gap where the disconnect is there between the elders and the young youth. Because I talk about the informal life, father, and the formal aspect of education. How we can improve the gap, the wide gap the way there, so youths can get it and say, all right, see the elders then there, see the example yeah? See the future there, make us set the pace there. How do one them see that inside of music and outside of music to become realize it in the music, the gap is wide because the criticism are from all different angles wide.
Very outside,
wide. Wider.
Yeah. I think the craft of music. This is great conversation. This is how it's going to change, you know. It's having sober conversations like this. Sober conversations like this. Now, when you talk about the gap and all, it is so important at this point for us to have these sober conversations, because when I went and sit down and sat with the great Martin Moore that met His Imperial Majesty in the flesh, may never meet His Majesty yet. I don't think you would ever born when Majesty come to Jamaica, neither. Because you look young. Unless me don't know where I take a shop or some organic place. Me don't know. But I think you're young.
So, say.
So when me did and go visit them man there, and the man they look pan we and when the man see we in a purse, the man choked man and said, Joe! The man was so happy to see us. And at one time he get to meet me now. And the man said to me, just stay upon the work. The only thing that him said to me, I met about me, my father, my brother, Raswita, Bongo Neti, Ras Kasha. Am I some, this is some elder that I have been given. Elders who we not travel with. And the man said, tell the man them to put in the bingy drumming of the music. Cause you have the timbrels. Cause you know the hell of them call it timbrels, the timbrels. Enough man don't know what the timbrels is. And you have to. Study them thing there in the blood. And one thing he said, doi, 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 doi. And we said, what doi? He said, him did not see enough Rasta man talk over the years. And have so much fire in them, and at the end of the day, they have accomplished nothing. And him say, don't be like them. When Martin Moore kind of talking,
the great Kumi.
like a lion in a man. The man is like the room shaking up. And the man said, don't, when he said, don't get caught up in the sense of doing peer talking and don't do nothing for Rasta. You know what I mean by do something for Rasta? Is showing them a way. Because if you talk me talk it all the time with my little friend of me in Nashville, you know, and them understand the Rastafarian culture. First of all, let me make something very clear. Rastafari is not a religion. It is a movement. It is an awakening movement, a liberating movement that many people has turned into a religion. And then I saw it figure. The foundation of it is based on the Ethiopian Orthodox Catholic Church from Ethiopia, connected in Egypt, Alexandria. So if we want to get the research, it is a liberation movement. And the nucleus of that, it has a spiritual nucleus in it. It have a, you understand? Within the Rastafari movement, there's a spiritual nucleus. But even the drumming don't come from Jamaica. It come from Uganda. That Naya Bingi drum there, that drumming come from Africa. Specifically, Uganda. Enough you them don't know what me just said to you. What I just said to you, enough young Rasta you, they don't know. Because a lot of them is leaning upon a thing named Zeal. And then put on a red, gold, and green suit, and then put on a natty dread. That's how we say you don't have to dread for the Rasta. Because when me did young, and I grew up as a young youth, my father allowed me fi find it for myself. That when we find the Ethiopian Orthodox Church in Jamaica, and I set a youth named Black Lion in Jamaica, I'm going to start learning about certain names, with Letta Selassie and Haile Malakat, and I said, but wait, them names are different. And this are years after me grew up in a 12 tribe without my natty dread. Because when me don't know about His Majesty, me not on dreadlocks. So that's why the message they come in, come out away, and say, because we live it as a testimony from we. When we say, you don't have a dread to be Rasta. But then I listen to the verse. We say, what does it mean to be Rasta? It says, it's a light of a liberty, lived by the fathers of our history. Got to believe in His Majesty. What about His Majesty? Oh yes, His lineage and divinity. The first step is sovereignty. No, enough man don't even know what sovereignty means, which is one of the seven seals of His Majesty. You ask enough Rasta youth, what are the seven seals? When they say His Majesty loose the seven seals in the earth, so that's your. What are those seven seals? Enough of them can't tell you if they. Brother, if we have this conversation with enough youth, they will be lost in transition. So like I say again, Rasta, if you see His Imperial Majesty, you have to see the church, Ethiopian Orthodox Church, because it is connected. That is the nucleus of Rastafarianism. If you're dealing what the king deal with, and that is the reality. So them conversation are very important. Let me feel nice for the man in your man.
I is a funny thing there, sir. As a matter of fact, large up youth them in a Kabale, Uganda, same way. All of the youth them too from Kampala to Kabale, because whole heap of real youth from them. That's right, the right, that's another zone. I'm used to call it Kigezi. Yeah, that's the zone where the Naya Bingi zone come from. Some good youth come from around it, you know. But more ask their question to cause a few years no more ask their the question from me, you know. From your youth, and I learned about far movement. You know. You see, they don't have a dread to be Rasta. I feel like it have a whole heap of different meditation to it, right? Mm-hmm. Where enough ones, I feel like it's a scapegoat terminology for enough ones. And that would I want to clear up for me, please, because enough ones say, don't have a dread to be Rasta. So they use it as an excuse. All right. Yeah. Once not over said, identity is there with the locks to show at farmer resistance and rebellion. And also, you have to have a different type of liberty. So you can't understand, oh, yeah, man, we are dealing with goodness and we love Rastafari. Okay, my mama got narrated. Said, every man, you know, I tell ladies straight for years. A lot of man do wrongs, I use Morgan heritage as a reference. So, mother love for the eye now directly come clear that up, because a long time I tell that from you walks there, the specific one, you know. Mother love for the eye come clear it up, because a lot of man need to stop the wrongs And then say, earmark and everything, say, you don't have to dread to be Rasta. So how do I can put a clarity upon that to show them, say, when we talk about this, we talk about a divine liberty. I leave it where a man have to live upright. You can't just chew up Morgan Heritage, don't have a dread to be Rasta whenever you feel like you had a wrong, and yet still you want to still come in.
Yes. Truth about that is the ones who do that, they don't know themselves still. Because for them to use it as a reference to defend wrong, you're wrong. Right, you can. It's like you say, boy, you do some kind of wrong, and you say, "Ooh, me never knew a star." Yeah, I mean, that's what basically what you're doing. And if you hear we say, you don't have a dread to be Rasta, it's a testimony of us, right? And where we live and see is that enough youth. Have on dreadlocks and have no liberty. And also, there are other people on that walk in the walks of life and have dreadlocks on their head, and it has nothing to do with His Imperial Majesty. It has nothing to do with their identity. We know that believe in the Solomonic dynasty and live by that and study the king. This is our identity. You dig? This is our identity where we use. But in this day and time, you cannot use that alone to be your identity. It has to come with a liberty. How you live, it has to be the reflection of our king, Emperor Haile Selassie I. It has to be the reflection of that, of the Solomon dynasty. It has to identify with that. So that's why my new album is like this positive vibration. Many other times, politics, and it's about life. Life itself. It's not about, when you want to hear about, Rastafari teachings, a 12 album Morgan Heritage put out, and a 3 soul album he put out, you know. So these are like books. So when you want to go for them, you go listen to an album like More Teachings, when I talk about the Feta and the Kebran of Gas. You go listen them album there. You go listen Don't Have to Dread. You go listen Mission in Progress. I'm going to say, why should we trust in politicians? But how long, at the end of the day, this is a business. This is art. So when me then am I, think that Rastafarians, that we put so much of our spiritual views and energy in the music that sometimes we forget about the music business. And remember, I said reggae is that nucleus, the way at this we put out we message them banana. So it has to be maintained. And I said dilute the thing. But at the end of the day, this is music business. But when you talk about the message and the music, that cannot change. That's why on a Morgan Heritage album, you have to find a love song because we love woman. I don't know no other people who love women like Rasta. Me no know. Sometimes we have 2 and 3 wives. Me grew up and see 2 mother. So if you want to talk about woman, my father grew up, me born and come see 2 mother. So we love woman. So that's what I'm saying. She's still loving me through all the trials and pain. It's a reality of our life. But so if a man now come now and say, why I'm kill a man, and my talk about, so you don't have to judge your brother. No bother with that. Crucify him. The man, if you get judgment, so it have nothing to do with Morgan Heritage, say, why you don't have to judge him. You don't have to be dread to be Rasta was a saying that was to free and liberate many young youth who work at the bank, or them father never want them, or them mother never want them to put on dreadlocks. So him could wait till him reach the age of 18 or 21. And when him feel, if he left him house and what him put on him natty, because that's what theme spirit tell him to do. So it was to free people like that. It was to free the man or the young lady that working in the bank. And she loved some Sizzla Kalenji music and loved Bob Marley music and loved Morgan Heritage music. But she afraid to put her locks in her ear. Me say, enough look a young girl in a Kingston. Them love Rasta so much. Them just put on one look a locks in the box. You ever see them? You ever see them just put one look a dreadlocks in her back? And then when them got work, they must wrap it up and say, yeah, so we in a disguise from them. And she cute and look nice and are working at the bank, but she a Rasta woman. So it was a thing that was to set a lot of young local youth will love Rastafari movement, love the culture, without keep them in a bondage. You know, see, because we want them to know, say, is bigger than just ital eating. Enough, man, we see 100 blacks and they're Muslim. Mr. Nuffman of 100 locks, and they don't agree with certain things where the Rasta man say, enough of them a murderer, enough of thief. So you can't just use that and look at a man and say, oh, he's a Rastafarian, and I saw it go. There are many wolves in sheep clothing, but by the fruit you shall know them.
No, a serious thing, Fire. And I just want to ask, I know I'm jumping, right? But I just want to ask in regards, I thought it was so cool with the, was it the Secret of Life?
Yes.
Secret? All right. The question is not necessarily about the song, Fire. The question is about how cool is it to have three generations working together? Because what I notice is that, Fire, it's a lot of family issues out here. We were reasoning one day on the podcast about, you know, collective growth as Black people. I said, Fire, people need to get their house in order. There's so much issues within the house. So, like, how were you able to get... I just think that's super dope. Like, I don't know how to say the fact that it's you, your pops, and your son working together on the same project, right? So how are you guys able to maintain? I know it's ups and downs in relationships, but how are you able to maintain some type of balance where you guys are at least able to do something together? From grandfather, father, and son.
I love my father. The Jamaica Gleaner called him the Abraham of his time. And that often you find a man we have 30 picnic at this earth, yeah. And the whole of them grow together. One wife upstairs, the next wife on the next floor. Now one house. At a liberty. You dig? So when me put together this album, Positive Vibration, it was like, okay. My son go down to Jamaica, my father up on the yard. My father enjoy farming. My grandfather love farming. There's nothing as sweet as putting food in the ground and watch it grow. It's a special thing. If you haven't tried, you have to try it, people. Right here, I'm telling you on I Never Knew TV. Me, I tell you this. Plant it and watch it grow. And the energy I've watched, waiting upon sun and light to feed it and then watch it grow and bear fruit. It's the same thing with life. So I love my father. For teach me that, love my grandfather for teach me that. So my son Jamir was in Jamaica, and I tell him this: I was finished on the album, and I said, "I need your vocals, Jamir. Send me the vocals." And we would even make joke with DJ Khaled and say, "Are the vocals in yet?" You know, and I said, "Jamir, don't make me call DJ Khaled after, you know, the vocals need to be in." Boom, brother, may I tell you, it's a joy. When Mr. My father walked through the door, because I was producing Jamiri's vocals, and my father come through the door, and I'm saying, what are you doing here? Because we're on FaceTime at work. And so we have finished up the album. And so, what? Give me a look of FaceTime. I said, what do you mean? And it just ironically that the song named The Secret to Life, because what more that you can get than guidance from your elders. You see, when me and my Rasta Bridge near there talk, if you clear up certain things and understand certain things better. And when my father got through enough things, him share it with me. And when my father shared them things with me and say, okay, my son, be careful of this. Don't do that. Don't eat this. Eat this. This is all right for do, but don't do this. Carry yourself. Don't go at this place. That's guidance. So me, I said, no, as a big man now, what is the secret to life? Because you've been there and done that, Grams. Get this, so tour you, so put out album, work with some of the greatest producers. What's next? What's next? So the song come about where is a father giving him son advice, and the son give the advice to the grandson. So it's the first time that I knew of that three generations, father, son, and grandson is on one record. And the simple thing, the message is so simple. Remember I said the key things on this album was positive vibration and simplicity. And throughout this whole pandemic, I've learned that there's power in simplicity. Because every day people get up and work so hard to impress people that hate you. What sense that make? You say, oh, you've heard the rapper them, yo, I'm gonna shine on these niggas. Yo, these niggas gonna be hating on me. Oh, look at this nigga. These niggas gonna be hating. So what I mean, the young man, you are out there working so hard to impress the people that hate you. So It's them thing that me learn in this whole thing where simplicity, there's power in simplicity. So that song, Secret to Life, my father said a couple key words is patience, joy. And he said two other words, not come to me. But those simple words that he said that were so powerful. And you hear Jamiria singing, and I'm just talking about a regular day. Wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee. You know, it's just a simple, deep thing where we wake up in the morning and just start off life like this. Come get up from 6:30, you know, I wake up and I never knew TV. Put myself together. Some man named us, I get if some man would all late. Can you see the first time he set up an interview with me, said, boy, I'm not going to be able to make that time there. That these are the small things in being professional and militant, you know, that's going to make the difference. So keep on, my brother.
Yeah, the discipline is enough ones and ones now, and then they realize it's a difference in a how far you can reach and accelerate to, because enough now really get it to know. Because you see the thing that you mentioned, the rappers them a while ago, is a good point too, because you realize that most people want to be mediocre, mm-hmm. they want to be generic, as weird as it seems, and them don't really think the way they do.
Yeah.
So it's like every individual strives while being themselves. How important I think it is to be yourself and getting towards success. And additionally, let me just ask a question to it. Intentional say they released a positive vibration on July 23rd, right? That was intentional, right?
Yes, sir. We love the king. Sorry, people. We love the king. I'm sorry. Me just love the king. One of the greatest examples in this modern day and time as a leader, as a spiritual man, as a king, as a father, as a governor of his things. And of course, we all make mistakes as natural man. His majesty was a man, yeah? But he was a divine man, yeah? He was our king, that Solomonic dynasty. So when you say, the whole connection there between I want you to repeat your question because me get so caught up in his majesty part.
so we are the right thing to the first thing we say about the album when we cite it, me I say, yeah, you know, say it's intentional, yes. Though I love it.
Yeah, man.
but we are saying the direction now, how important it is for one be themselves.
Yes.
Towards striving for success.
Yes, yes. Well, when you say releasing the album upon His Majesty's birthday, when the record label called me and said, "This, we have this option to release it on this day and option to release it on this day," and them said, July 23rd is available. Me said, that's the birthday of the king. That is I and I Christmas. Me said, yes, that's the perfect day. And they said, are you sure? I said, yes, me very sure that is the day. So I said to Tracy, which is a management company, Halo Entertainment, I said, yeah, man, that's the day. Let's go that day. And then when you talk about knowing of yourself, is the first thing is before being yourself. You can't be yourself if you don't know yourself. Let me say that again. You cannot be yourself before you know yourself. Because if you don't know yourself, you're going to be something that you're discovering. You're trying to be this thing that you don't even know yet. So that's why we promote the seven seals of His Majesty. The seven seals, the first one is sovereignty. The last one is ceremonial purity. And we'll leave the other five in between to make the young generation go and research. I don't have a thing in Google. So I'll give you the first and the last. First is sovereignty, which means knowing of oneself. The last is ceremonial purity. All right.
Yeah, attach means sovereignty. Just to drop that in too.
Yeah. Fire, I want to jump back to the guidance we just spoke about, right? And there's a connection there we failed to acknowledge, but you had a strong father. Tarchi had a strong father. I had a strong father. And I noticed not all, but many people who have certain, they know how to step, put it like that, right? I think that would cover everything. Yeah. But they had somebody teach them how to step.
Yes.
Whether it's some elder, some uncle or something, but there was a male figure. And I feel that's a big problem in regards to people's behavior. Because a lot of time we chastise people, say, oh, they soft, they this and that. But no one ever taught them how to move, or they were never around anyone to see certain principles. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, as a culture, we need to figure out either we need the father to take care of the children better, or we need some type of male figure to come in and give some guidance and work out some system. Because I think that's the, I teach. You get what I'm saying? I teach in Philly, and I see it, and you can see the difference in kids.
Yeah, that is one of the energy that I'm trying to present them on this album. Because everybody's a tough guy. We, as the black man, are naturally warriors by our DNA. We are combative, and we are tribalist too. Man say, ooh, you are Kente. Ooh, me are Shanti. Ooh, me are Ewe. Ooh, me are Ga. And he's like, we're combative by nature. That's number one. I met about black people. The example of fathers has been so beaten. When you hear these songs today that are popular, because music is being made and the message is still in the music. So I don't want nobody to try to act like the message in the music. They're lying. The problem is that the message musics are not being played and it's not being pushed, okay? That's why you have some of the Rasta artists, them like gone rogue. Because they might say, oh, no, no, I hear it. All right. Me say this then. So my thing is that when Grams done, me bring back the smile and the music. Because if you notice, most artists in almost every genre, especially black music, is everybody's a tough guy. The first image they want me is a tough guy, a bad boy. Let's check it what me just said to you. In order for your boss, you have to be a gangster. Especially in a Jamaica. Within dance hall, the first thing is like, no man no love no woman again. No man no want a wife again. No man no want a queen. No man no want to enjoy them family again. No man no research the teachings of His Majesty again. It's like, but those songs are out there, but they're not being what? Pushed as much as that energy. So it's an energy in the earth, you know. When Beyonce said, to the left, I could have another you in a minute. Matter of fact, he'll be here in a minute, baby. What is she saying? She has said, hey, listen, to man. This way the last night. No argument with you. Get out. So the first thing is to destroy, get rid of the black man out of the house. Then the first son, him become the man of the house. So him get a thing named force right. So he's forced to grow up without no knowledge, wisdom, militancy. So he's forced to be the man of the house. So boom, first thing gone out the streets, he could go and look it, cause mama suffer. So this is the message, that messages that are out there, that are, it's not building family. And when you listen to certain songs, remember the song that say, stand by your man, stand by your, them not push them the music. That's why you don't see them pushing people like India Re and Jill Scott and Erykah Badu. They're not pitching those messages. So we have to know, like I never knew TV, I have to know, say, yo, this is where we are pushed over here, because this is what's going to empower our nation. Whether you're black, white, Chinese, we are the positivity. Hence my album name, what? Positive Vibration. If you listen to me, I talk about, yo, lay up on the beach and relax and enjoy Jamaica. That's my thing there, because I've done the work. Atachi have work to do. I give him the touch and say, Atachi, go and go lead the nation. Now when Moses come and he said to Joseph now and say, yo, see the Ten Commandments here now. Joseph, lead the people over to the water. No, so it go. When I was still there, as Moses, I tried, yo, watch out, Joseph. Me still can't carry the people. At times, me relax now and guide attach it and say, yo, go on, go lead the people them. You know the teachings already, you know. No time for me enjoy my labor. So when you hear positive vibration, it's just a where me, Graham Smog, and there. So my son, Jimmy, we can come up and see a message. I come talk about him, I enjoy life. Go put in work, TSA pre-check and tour bus and all them thing there. Me, I go golfing. Can we put in work?
Fire, next question I have there is, I don't know if you have two or three songs with NDIRE. Like, what's the history with you and NDIRE?
Yeah.
When your sister, and so people know, he does have a song with her on this album right now. So what's the history with you two?
When I meet India, it's the same thing I just say, yo, it's like a brother, fine, a sister. I mean, I say, sister, where you been so long? And she said, brother, a long time may I look for you. And that's exactly what it was. When India, I went to a show with a friend of mine, and she said, India's here. I said, she's performing? She said, yeah, she just performed with one of our friends named Anthony David. And if you notice, back in the days, in the early 2000, mid-2000, that conscious movement and that was strong in Atlanta. No, it's changed. We won't go there too much, but it's changed. So when me here in India, I did it, my good hand was a collective of artists was always there. So when I went to go there, see her, them say, all right, nobody's seen India, because the fans, them, I go, nuts, everybody want to touch her. I say, all right, come, we'll see her next time. And she said, wait, wait. So she go whispering at the bodyguard, here, my friend, and say, Grams Morgan from Margaret just want to meet you. And middle of the room start clear out, bodyguard said, I mean, I said, but wait. And when them part the crowd and go, sir, and she goes, sir, Grams! I mean, I said, oh, she at all? I was shocked that India renew my music. And you know what make India discover my voice through Morgan Heritage is a song named The 23rd Psalms that I did with Buju Bantan. She tell me, say, she wake up every morning to that song and play it 15, 16 times a day. I said, God bless you. She say, I need to do some work with you. I said, what? I said, I lie out there. She said, give me your number. Bam, bam, bam. I give her my number. 1 month pass, 2 months pass, 3 months. I mean, I'm back to work as usual. Boom, long story short, I see me up on the bus. We are tour behind an album named Mission in Progress. I see the phone ring. I said, I say, India. I said, Peter, look at India, call me. I said, get on myself. I said, hello? She said, hey, how are you doing? Me and I start talking. She said, I'm working on my new album and I need you, as soon as you get back to it, in time I was living in Atlanta. And she said, as soon as you get back in town, I need you to come over and listen to see what track you want. Put your voice on. Boom. I reach out the house and boom, me, I listen to the album. I was basically A&R in the album. And from that day, every album that she put out, she never released it without me listening. I don't know why. But me and this woman does connect on a level where musically it's like brother and sister, husband and wife, grandmother and grandfather, every relationship where you can think about. And me and her never going in a personal relationship ever. It's just been this, like this mission that we have to put out the message in the music of love, unity, black love, and reigniting the families to stay together and do positive things. And from that, she never leave a one album she leave me after, which was the most recent one. And it's because me and her were so busy. And every album, solo album that I've put out in the area has been on it. My first solo album, Two Sides of My Heart, the second one, Reggae Music Live, and the third one now out called Positive Vibration.
Now, that's a super dope story. And I want to, for those who are unaware, I just want you to speak about you producing Bugle's last album.
Yeah.
To me, Bugle, a different type of artist, right? He's a different. Yeah, thing on a different heights, right?
Yeah.
How did you link up with him?
Just being an admirer of greatness and being able, enough artists were made today and seen. A lot of people don't realize before Morgan Heritage had moved to Jamaica and started working with Bobby Digital and King Jammies, we were producers already. I had my own 24 track recording studio in my backyard at 18 years old. God bless my father. So we grew up with a sense of independence and learned from the greats like KRS-One used to come in my backyard. Enough people don't know these things. I don't have time to talk about, yo, yeah, talk about, yeah. Big enough things I and I do. You don't do that. If me supposed to tell you my story today, it would take me 6 hours. And we still wouldn't get through it. Thelonious Monk. We used to go to Thelonious Monk Junior Yard every day. Enough people don't even know who Thelonious Monk is. One of the greatest jazz musicians ever. Right? And this man used to come to, we used to go to Theme Yard. He used to come to Foo Yard and teach about sit down on the track and the rhythm and how to swing and the different rudiments of timing in drumming that you have swing and you have 16 and then you have 16 quarter notes and then 16 T triplets. Most musicians and man know them thing that they must jump on a Sony laptop and just start. So therefore you hear our music like how it is. So it is a journey where you find that the history and the greatness of doing music, it takes time. It takes time, man. And along Fimi journey, so much Jackie Matu from the Scatterlights. Man, he used to live on the same street as me.
Oh, you met Jackie Matu in person?
Jackie Matu was
like Jackie Matu.
Yes, that's man. Crazy, yeah. Jackie Matu was our teacher. He used to, my father tell him to come down and teach us in the basement at Cornelia Street. So if I supposed to tell you all I'm going to teach teacher, I'm going to probably drop down in after that. But we had some serious teachers, man.
Yeah, so explain about working with Bugle, though.
Yes, no, Bugle, no. That greatness that I've seen, that I've learned from these greats, me did it and see. That I'm glad you bring it back, getting it back calm. He's me very passionate when me talking. Now, with Bugle now, when me talk with me, Bugle, I've always been on the outside. There's so much artists I would love to work with that I see the greatness in them, but there's not enough producers in Jamaica. There's not enough professionals. There's a lot of talent, but the professional industry, there's not enough, and we need to build it. Right here on I Never Knew TV, I'm telling you this. Now, when I hear Bugle, I say, I'm a tune where goes, I hear the way the man are playing with him words. And I'm saying, no, man, that brother, you know, he said, she want something about she want burger.
He want soul food and
shit. Yeah.
All right. So you see, say connect with him too. So any normal or any heightened person, not normal, would listen to Bugle and be amazed by him. Me want soul food, she want burger. That right, them line there, right? So now here it is, one of the persons where I say, is that every songwriter is an artist, and is that every artist is a songwriter. Remember before Bugle was an artist, he was a songwriter.
Nothing, all right? Elephant Man, Bounty Killer, the whole crew, yeah.
Go on again, right down the list. Nah. And then boom, he said, boy, something, let me try and do something for myself. Because he's always been a great songwriter with words. I'm gonna say, yo, y'all work on the album? Make me sure, let me carry you come on the promised land now. Make me do some work. And I saw Marcus Myrie, Buju Bantan's son, was producing the song. And I heard, and I say, brother, I'm gonna come to Jamaica, I'm gonna link you. And I left from the airport and go write a Bugle studio in the yard. And I said, come, my time for my tune now. But it was just, I was this little man on his shoulder. It was really all him. But the guidance, my brother, that, like, let me just explain to what to attach it, say, it's time for we guide the next generation. Because what I see happen in music industry, reggae music industry and dancehall, is that everybody wants to reign forever. And you can still do that within your catalog, but help to build the next generation. And for sure, Bugle is an artist where me not stop pushing, because the talent where him have is, it's beyond even reggae and dancehall. I think Bugle could write a song for any artist in the world. So to work with him was just a joy. If you just did a studio with him and see how his mind work, and I mean, I say, yeah. It's like the same thing when I work with Chronics. When Chronics appear on our album Strictly Roots, on a tune called Child of Jah. And just to hear the way, just watch him the way him record, we made us a laugh at me. I said, are you trying to now ball it up? And then go back in and put it on him ad lib. I said, yeah, man, Mr. Peter, I want a winner. Yeah, man. That him take the music serious. It's not just me saying, that man, hear the lyrics. No, brother. Put your thing in order. That's why when Buju Bantan come from prison, and the greatest advice, him look for me the next morning after the stadium show, him say, Gramps, get your house in order. Yeah, look for him, say, me. I say, get your house in order, it's time. And me say, you don't have to say another word. And from that, me just start think different and start move different and say, yo, work's to be done. the nation is at hand and the throne is under threat. Our liberty is under threat if we don't preserve it and start build. So hence the relationship with Bugle and putting on a son Jamiri and start. If we not build the next generation, what gonna happen when we gone on? It's going to die.
Oh, well, Fire, we give thanks for the progressive thought and the vision, because unfortunately too many people don't really have that vision, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not putting in work to set up things for the future. And everyone listening, make sure you get the album from the one Gramps Morgan, Positive Vibration, to give you a positive vibration. Always sweet the reason. If this brethren was closer, I like to do an on-camera thing, but we're gonna work with this. Always sweet the reason with this brethren here, because it really come with some real knowledge that's kind of, you know, and transparency. I don't like the word transparency because I was using that in corporations, but in regards to just opening up and sharing yourself and just being real, you know.
Absolutely.
And I always appreciate that. I know those listening appreciate the same way, you know.
Yeah, man. It's the only way to be. I cannot sell you illusion.
Yes,
and tell you, say, boy, me and Atashi did go by a song, jump into the lake. I was really, I look a small river, we would have enjoy ourselves. There's too much illusions within our circle, and it needs to change, or we're going to miss it. That's why it's enough you put on dreadlocks and trim, you know? Because them say, boy, it's not what they thought it was. Me, a man come on me out of Brooklyn already and say, yo, Sizzler made me trim, man. I said, what do you mean Sizzler make you trim? Sizzler make you trim? Me say, Sizzler call you on your phone and say, yo, go trim? Him say, no, like that. But he sing Pum Pum tune, man. I'm going to say, so you don't like Pum Pum? And I'm saying, no, man, but he said, black woman in chat. I'm telling you about a real life situation. A man come in my yard. I would have studios. Enough man used to come record dub plate. And I said, Sizzler make me trim. I said, no, brother, that is impossible. And it's therefore, you say that conviction attached. You say, you have to have that in you. Because other than that, when hard times come or somebody come with negativity, it like a wash off. It's not embedded in your soul and in your spirit. So those things are so important. And these conversations are very important because this is what we call chamber conversation. The first time I said that to my father laughed. He said, do you realize that certain people in society have certain conversation when they meet up once a week and close the door and have discussions and how we can become stronger? So these things are necessary, and we give thanks to I Never Knew TV from the first time I come on the show.
We give thanks for the strength, same way from those times too. There we have it, Gramps Morgan.
Yes,
we give thanks, Fire.
Give thanks. Yeah.